What's up, San Diego? Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, 3 o'clock hour of Gwynn and Chris. Talking a little NBA, got a Daily Gambit coming up later on in this hour. Chris, you know, it's funny, I was listening to the intro there in the E-Guy thing. You know, Mud hit me with that the other day, and in my mind, I was like, I know you know his name, so I know, and it dawned on me that Mud listens to our show.
Oh, he was making fun of me.
He's probably heard the intro.
Thank you, Mudcat.
Actually,
E-Guy is taking on a life of its own because in the stands on Saturday, people were, I think they kind of figured out that I was around, but they said, E-Guy. E-Guy. And every time he was up to bat, and then when he actually hit that home run, everybody lost their mind and screamed, E-Guy!
For the record, ladies and gentlemen, that is not his name, so please don't call him E-Guy.
E-Guy is doing a nice job. He's in the lineup tonight as the DH. He's got 3 home runs right now and 273, 910 OPS. What's going on with Tyler Wade right now? Tony, am I missing him this weekend? Or it seems like Paulie's getting all the DH time from the left side.
I think that's kind of how it goes. I think for Tyler, they like his glove.
Okay,
but there's nowhere to put him because if Manny's playing third,
I know
the only other chance he had, the lefty threw, so that put Rosario at third and. Yeah. That allowed Manny to
DH.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I don't even think it was a left. I think it was a righty. I just think Eggy had earned the right at that point to get a start, and I think they went with it. I think we'll see Tyler again here. We got a lefty here today. Rosario will get to go, but if I'm not mistaken, you got a few righties coming up here thereafter that he'll have to probably get a crack at.
All right. So the question is, and it's been on my mind since Saturday night, LeBron James had a big fourth quarter, as he just almost always does. Carried the Lakers, made sure they didn't blow the lead, basically. I mean, they've had a lead in every game of this series. This time they held on to it, beat Denver to force a game 5 tonight in Denver. So the question I ask you, Tony, the Lakers have avoided the sweep, but now can they avoid the gentleman sweep?
A term is that
you coined a couple of years ago, which I love.
A 4-1 loss?
It's a 4-1 loss after you lose the first 3. Okay. They give you 1, and then they wrap it up. That's a gentleman's sweep.
Gentleman's sweep. I don't know if I coined the term, but I definitely like it.
I definitely like it.
It's hard, man. Everything in my body wants to say they got a chance, but my brain is just like, bro, this has never happened before. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would love. You guys know how much I would love for the Lakers to be the first team in the history to ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. But Denver's really good. And, I mean, the Lakers pretty much had to play perfect basketball. They didn't have one of those weird lulls that they've had in 11 straight games prior to that one. So, I mean, I want to say my heart and body wants to say yes, they can avoid the gentleman sweep, but they're going to have to prove to me they can win in Denver first.
Yeah, they got to win in Denver. I mean, look, Anthony Davis keeps putting up these spectacular numbers, 25 points, 23 rebounds, even 6 assists. You know, you watch him way more than I do this team, Tony. Why don't they give him the ball in the fourth quarter? I mean,
That's
I know LeBron
question.
Is great, but it seems like Anthony Davis could do whatever he wants to. Now, he scored 2 points in the fourth quarter the other night. I don't have all of his fourth quarter stats, but it does seem like they just completely forget about him once they get to that, fourth quarter.
I don't know if there's fatigue because he's shouldering the load for 3 quarters.
Yeah.
Prior to that, he's playing as good a defense as you can on Jokic, which is almost impossible. The difference was in the last game is that you had Austin Reeves was far more aggressive. He played better. D'Angelo Russell played better. So in that formula, he doesn't have to perform in the fourth. But, in a game like this where you're trying to survive a road
You got to win on the game. Road. You're going to need everybody tonight.
100%. He's going to have to play.
Yeah.
In a fourth quarter, especially when it matters most, hopefully they're still close at that point, if not leading.
Yeah.
This is the game where he does it. He's played tremendous. None of this will be any of his fault if the Lakers end up indeed getting beat today. He has played phenomenal.
Well, last year the Celtics were down 3-0 to the Heat, and they got it to a game 7, only to come up short. So, you know, if they win tonight, they get back home, and who knows? I will say, you know, and the other thing is Jamal Murray, I believe, I don't know if he's all the way to questionable, but I hear he's a little gimpy on a hamstring tonight.
Oh, yeah, I saw
so
him.
So let's slow him down a little and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Hey, I don't wish anybody getting hurt, but
yes,
I certainly ain't mad he ain't 100%, though.
It wouldn't hurt. I watched some really good NBA basketball yesterday, Tony. I don't know how much you had a chance to see at the ball game, but fourth, let's start with the Knicks and Sixers. Fourth quarter, first of all, love the fact that Joel Embiid, after the game, felt some type of way about there being so many Knicks fans somehow allowed into that arena to cheer for the Knicks last night.
Yeah, that was nuts.
He didn't like that. It was kind of loud.
It was, I saw some Instagram clips of, like, on the concourse. It was, you would have thought it was in New York City.
Yeah,
they were yelling F Embiid.
Like, in his own arena.
In his own arena. And they, like, had completely taken over the place.
Yeah. I got to tell you, one of the most underrated players in the NBA, maybe the most underrated, because I don't think his name ever gets mentioned when you talk about the top guys. Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, man.
I mean, he scored 47 points. He also had 10 assists. So if you add that, that's 67 of their 97 points. He had a direct hand in. This guy, they put the ball in his hands, and he makes the right play down the stretch, and he must have enjoyed it. He and Josh Hart and DiVincenzo all went to Villanova.
Yeah.
And the game's in Philadelphia, which is where Villanova is. So it's kind of a homecoming for them. I don't know that the Knicks can make it all away, but where would they be if they had Julius Randle? I mean, this team's, you know, they're pretty good. And Brunson is practically unstoppable.
Brunson is unstoppable. The only person who stops him is himself. He has such a unique game. Like, he's not blazing fast. He's not tall and athletic. He's not jumping out of the gym. This dude just knows how to get to his spots and get to a bucket. He is what they call a bucket. He's a walking bucket, and he's been that way all season long. Like, this isn't just starting now. Like,
no.
he's the reason they're as high of a seed as they are without Julius Randle, along with Hart and DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo.
Yeah, like, all the Villanova guys.
All the Villanova boys have played their tails off. And so, yeah man, this is 76ers in trouble.
Yeah, that 3-1 New York for that series. The other one that was fun yesterday was the Clippers and the Mavs. And I turned this game on in the fourth quarter. The Clippers were up by about 12. I hadn't realized they were up by 31 at one point. 31! And they blew the whole lead. Dallas came back. Say what you want about Kyrie Irving. The world may be flat, but his game
is
off the floor. his driving layup to put them ahead in the fourth quarter. You need to see this clip.
He had one with three guys surrounding him?
Three rounding him. He hung in the air, then fell, and then still had enough to get it up and over the rim. He scores 40 points, but the shot of the game was right after that, Tony. Paul George got the ball in the right corner, double-teamed, had nowhere to go.
Oh, my
Did a
Lord.
Fall back or a step back, fall out of bounds, three-pointer from the right corner, and swished it.
All strings.
All
strings.
Yeah.
Hey,
any better than that.
Dave had that one on the TV. I think it was shortly before the game.
Man.
Or might have been before. Was that during the game where Paul George hit that shot? It was during the game. Because it was in between innings or in between. So both Dave and I are looking at it. And he hit that step back, side step back three. We both looked at each other like,
That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Harden finished it off. They both had 33.
Give Harden some credit, too, because remember, they're doing this without Kawhi. They had to have that game.
Yep.
And your boy James Harden played terrific down the stretch,
too. He did. He and Brunson, you know, in the previous game, two lefties just, you know, making it happen, getting to the rim, getting their shots. Clippers even that up at two. I'd like to see Kawhi come back. My guy.
Oh, wait, real quick, Chris. You know what I need you to do? I don't know how much of you of them have you watched yet, but you need to watch the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, I was going to get to their game.
Okay,
I watched that last night.
There are a ton of similarities between Ant Edwards and 84 Michael Jordan.
That dunk he made last night was 84 Michael Jordan. Anthony Edwards has come around to become one of the best players in the league. I just want one last thing on Dallas. My guy Doncic did pick up his daily technical foul in the second quarter and shot 1 for 9. Took a little of the blame for that loss.
He did.
But, yeah, I'm just – I you weren't here the other day, Tony, when I was telling Doncic.
No, I was here.
Okay. Yeah. So you're all right with that one. Pacers hit 22 threes to beat the Bucks. Doc Rivers is going to take all the heat for the Bucks' collapse because he took over as coach and they haven't been able to win since he took over. But I don't know how they're supposed to beat anybody without Giannis and Damian Lillard. So that's kind of unfair. And then to finish up with the T-Wolves, Anthony Edwards has become one of my favorite guys to watch. He is – this is your word, Tony, but I'm going to apply it to him. He's an assassin out there. I mean, when he gets the ball, he is just looking for a way to break your heart. And he hit some beautiful fall-away threes. He had 7 threes and then finished off Phoenix with that dunk, which you need to see on YouTube if you haven't seen it already.
The one thing that he possesses that is very much out of the cloth of Kobe and Michael is that he is seeking. He is seeking out whoever the best person is on the court and is trying to destroy. He was talking crazy to Kevin Durant all series. Like, no joke. Like, talking to him just not a way that you would talk to one of the best players to ever do it.
Yeah, why would you want to build up Kevin Durant?
He didn't care.
He didn't care.
And and Kevin Durant said as much after the series. He said, he's my favorite player to watch. He just has that kind of I'm coming to get you, as you said, assassin mentality. And, man, and he's got a pretty good I don't even know if you would call him a sidekick. They're both extremely, extremely good in Cat.
Yeah, he's got Cat. And I'll tell you, this other guy who's really good is Jaden McDaniels. He plays some great defense.
You know that name.
And can do some things. The brother of the old Aztec, Jalen McDaniels. Minnesota's advanced. They're the only team that has advanced. Quick, you know, RIP for Phoenix. But, I mean, for them to add Bradley Beal, who was a disaster in the game last night, 3 straight turnovers in the fourth quarter, followed by a stupid foul to foul out of the game, finishes with 9 points. That's not what Phoenix had in mind when they added him to Booker and Durant. And they go out, and I was they said last night, Phoenix mortgaged so much for the season, they don't have a first-round pick until 2031. So that franchise could be at a crossroads.
I'll tell you what, it was a good kind of example of why you still need a guy who can facilitate the offense. You know, they didn't have that. I mean, they basically had Devin Booker playing point guard, which I think takes away from what he does so well, which is put the ball in the bucket.
Yeah.
They didn't have a point. They didn't have a Chris Paul this year to kind of move and maneuver. They didn't have none of that. And I think they paid a price for it when it got time to this time of year.
I don't want to eliminate the Lakers yet at all, Tony, but if Denver does advance, which most people think they will, that Denver-Minnesota series is going to be a lot better than people might think.
Oh, for sure.
Because Anthony Edwards is all that. He's become one of the best in the league. So really enjoying. You know, the NBA, you don't get this during the regular season. And what I talk about often, Tony, is defensive resistance.
Mm-hmm.
That helps make offense look more impressive. And now we're seeing it. We're seeing Brunson get 47 but have to earn it. We're seeing Anthony Edwards have to make amazing plays to get 40. Seeing Paul George have to hit incredible shots like he did. That is great basketball.
Yeah.
Really
no
enjoyed it. So all good right, luck to your Lakers tonight, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Let's get to break. I believe a Daily Gambit when
yes,
we
sir.
Return. Daily Gambit. Here's some traffic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, coming on back here. 3:22 is the time, Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park. Matt Scraby alongside in the Odyssey Palace studios. No Scraby Chronicles tonight or tomorrow, but never fear. Scraby will be back on Wednesday and Thursday this week.
I've been missing it.
With a brand new edition of the Scraby Chronicles.
Definitely been missing it.
Wednesday and Thursday. I know the Scraby Scrabinators miss you. A couple of baseball notes.
And I miss them.
All right. I can send out a,
all right.
send out a note to everybody.
Thank you. I will.
Minnesota Twins have reinstated shortstop Carlos Correa from the 10-day injured list. He missed 16 games with a strained right rib cage muscle. Correa hit .306 with one home run early this season, but he's back for the Twins, who've won, I believe, 7 in a row, their longest winning streak since 2021.
That's the thing, Chris. It's like all these other teams can go on winning streaks, and the Padres cannot get on a winning streak.
The Rockies can't go on a winning streak.
But the Rockies aren't expected to go on a winning streak.
The White Sox went on a winning streak.
They're not
streak.
Expected to. The Padres are expected to win at least four
Sox
games in a row once.
Well, it didn't happen until September last year.
Exactly.
Let's hope it happens sooner this year, starting tonight. The Houston Astros are, promoting... God, what a voice.
The Astros.
Promoting first baseman Joey Loperfido.
Oh.
I never heard of Joey, but I bring it up because he's taking the spot of Jose Abreu. Remember when the Padre fans
yes.
clamored for him?
I did.
He's in the second year of a $60 million contract, hitting .099 with one extra base hit. In 77 plate appearances for the Astros.
So they're just benching him, or are they send him to AAA?
I don't know what they're going to do. They'll probably keep him on the roster, but it looks like Loperfido is going to take over there. Our old friend Garrett Cooper, back in the big leagues, Boston Red Sox, added him to their roster today.
That was confusing, because when I was seeing Garrett Cooper earlier this season,
he was
doing,
with the Cubs.
He was playing well, I thought.
He was doing all right with the Cubs. They didn't want him. They DFA'd him. Because of Michael Busch, and the Red Sox picked him up for some cash considerations.
That's a tough life, I gotta say. Being a player,
being
who's
a borderline, guy,
yeah, who signs with one team, gets released after a month, finds a new team.
I liked Garrett Cooper. I thought he could have helped this team this year, but he'll be with the Red Sox and the Colorado Rockies, looking to turn things around. They are going to call up top prospect Jordan Beck. In advance of their series opener tomorrow in Miami.
They have prospects?
Mild prospects.
Mild prospects.
He was a first-round draft choice in 2022. He's going to replace struggling outfielder Nolan Jones, who will go to the injured list with a back issue. Doesn't sound like he's really got a back issue. Sounds like he's got an average issue.
You mean a
batting average issue. Yeah. That's what they always do. If you got a batting average issue... You go on the IL with a sore back.
I mean, he played all week and he got a couple hits.
Two.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they didn't exactly have as high-scoring games there in Mexico City as the Padres and the Giants did, but there was a reason for that. One of the teams was the Rockies.
Oh, there you go.
they scored four runs in two games in Mexico City because they're who they are.
But they can score, what, 10 runs against the Padres?
Yeah, that loss is going to hurt for a while.
I can't get over it.
I know you can't. All right, let's get to some other winners and losers in today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We're going to start with some bets that we made last week. But first, the Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed on 97.3 The Fan. While you're listening to The Fan, you can see what you missed and click to listen on demand, miss the guest feature, or if something crazy happened from earlier, we've got you covered. Download the free Odyssey app, search 97.3 The Fan and tap earlier today to get started. All right, so we first bet on the Dallas Mavericks -4.5 on the spread over the Clippers on Friday night. Chris chose Clippers, I chose Dallas, and I ended up winning this one. Dallas won 101-90. Phoenix, they were 5-point favorites over the Minnesota Timberwolves on Friday night. Chris chose Phoenix, I chose the T-Wolves. T-Wolves won 126-109. I was just on Twitter and I typed in Anthony Edwards to see what people were saying about the dunk. And there was a video of him dunking right next to Jordan dunking. And they look pretty similar. Very similar.
He goes up for the dunk and kind of tilts sideways like Jordan does or did. You know, and the thing about both Jordan and Anthony Edwards, after they jump, they somehow go higher in the air. I don't understand how you do that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It was quite a play. You know, he was the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah.
About 7-8 years ago, and he didn't do anything the first 2 or 3 years he was around. Looked like it was going to be a total bust.
Yeah.
Now he looks like a Hall of Famer.
He does, and that's great. I love Anthony Edwards.
It all turned for him when he starred in that movie.
Ever since Kermit.
The Adam Sandler movie he was in. He was so good.
We also bet on who would have more points in the game, Anthony Edwards or Devin Booker. I don't know why I forgot his name.
Yes.
You chose Booker. I chose Anthony Edwards. Edwards did have more, 36 points. Booker had 23 points.
Yesterday, Booker had 49.
Ooh.
But it wasn't enough.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Kings and the Edmonton Oilers. Edmonton -1.5 on the puck line. Chris and I chose the Kings. We were both wrong. The Oilers won 6-1.
And they beat them again. The Oilers did 1-0 last night. So the Kings are like the Lakers, down 3-1 and facing a gentleman sweep.
Gentleman sweep. Yes. I do love that. Phillies and the Padres on Friday night, over under 7.5 runs. We were thinking under because of a great pitching matchup between Aaron Nola and Joe Musgrove, but unfortunately it was 9-3, so 12 runs. We were wrong.
Did not materialize.
Who had more strikeouts, Aaron Nola or Joe Musgrove? You said Nola. I said Joe. I was wrong. Nola had 10 Ks.
Yeah. Joe's got to get it together. And, you know, I'm joking when I say he's gone from no-no Joe to oh-no Joe. Because I have, you know, all the confidence in the world that he'll get it straightened out. But right now, you know, it's got to be a troublesome stretch for him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's healthy. You know, he's just not pitching the way he can. So that's, you know, part of being a professional is finding a way to deal with that.
It is. And I trust Joe. He'll figure it out.
He will.
All right, what do we got?
All right, we got the Celtics at Miami tonight. Celtics by 10.5 on the road. Celtics won game 3 comfortably. I'm going to go with my coach, Eric Spoelstra. I don't know what he's going to do. When Miami won game 2, they hit 23 threes.
Yeah, that was a lot.
In lieu of doing that again, they're certainly overmatched without Jimmy Butler, but I say Spoelstra finds a way to keep it somewhat close.
Although I
agree. The Celtics are just, you know, a machine when they get going.
I agree.
Miami, anyway?
I'm going to go Heat, 10.5 is... Celtics have burned me before.
Denver is 6.5-point favorite to close out the gentleman's sweep over the Lakers. In Denver.
LeBron doesn't go down easy, so I don't know if they win, but I'll choose the Lakers to keep it close.
The Lakers will stay close. I got to believe the Lakers. I picked them at the beginning of the series. It doesn't look like they're going to win the series, but you know, it's a weird thing. LeBron James, they put up a stat last night, or the Saturday night, that he averages 30-some-odd points a game in the 31 elimination games of his career.
That's and I'm thinking, very strange stat.
He's played in that many games in which he faced elimination.
I guess if you go down early.
That's how long he's been around.
Well, if you go down early, then you're facing multiple elimination games.
Yes, you could face multiple eliminations in the same series.
That is crazy. That's a lot. 31's a lot, yeah. Who are you going with then?
Oh, I'm taking the Lakers to you know, keep it going. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 27.5 over under at New Orleans as the Thunder go for the four-game sweep. SGA finishes it off. I'll say over. I keep looking at your poor forlorn guy, Zion Williamson, watching from the bench in this series.
Starting to.
Thinking, you know, this is why. You know, your best ability is your availability.
Absolutely.
They need him, and he can't play.
Yeah.
SGA over 27 and a half.
I'm going to go under.
Under. Okay. You got it. Jokic or LeBron James, who scores the most points tonight?
LeBron.
LeBron. Don't ever put it past Jokic.
You going to choose Jokic?
I'll take Jokic this time. Reds and Padres, 8 runs over under tonight. Nikola Dolo is a really good pitcher. The Padres are swinging bats okay. Matt Waldron's been hit and miss. I'm gonna say over. Not confidently.
I'm gonna go over too. I mean,
really,
I feel like we always say, "Oh, the Padres are going up against an ace tonight." It's like it seems like
they've been drawing quite a few of them. And speaking of Lodolo, he's got 27 strikeouts in 20 innings. His over under is only 5.5 tonight. Scraby.
I've seen the team play recently. I'm going to go over.
He's got to get over. He's a strikeout pitcher, Lodolo. All right, we'll see how we do. Last week you were 14-10.
Ooh, okay.
Which is a winning record,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, not too bad.
I was 11-13, which is a losing record.
Losing.
Loser. Yes, that fits my profile perfectly. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit more about the Reds. Mark Sheldon from MLB.com. And you'll never believe where he enjoyed a fantastic Mexican feast today in San Diego. All of that and more when Gwen and Chris resume. You love Mediterranean food.
Like I do.
Like Scraby does. Like Tony does. Like we all do. Make sure you try Spiro's. Authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. And now at Petco Park, if you're going to the ball game tonight, grab some Spiro's for dinner. Or for dining takeout options, visit Spiro's Cuisine. com. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park, Matt Scraby alongside here, the Odyssey Palace, a couple of hours away from Sammy Leavitt and the Padre pregame show. Yankees and Orioles are matching up tonight in Baltimore.
Yep.
In the AL East, Yankees off to the good start. Orioles have been good until they dropped 2-3 to Oakland.
Ooh.
How about Oakland?
I like.
I mean,
the
I just
A's
didn't
team.
Expect the A's to win any games this year. They're 12-17. That's don't look now. Only a game behind what the Padres' record is. I know that's not a good positive thing
to
say.
It's the truth, though.
And I did mention it earlier before you phone in the entire Padres season. Tampa Bay was swept this weekend in Chicago by the White Sox. Swept.
Yeah, swept.
Scraby said, everybody can get a sweep, except apparently us.
It's the truth.
It's not the truth.
It's the truth. If the White Sox can do it against the Rays, Padres should be able to do it against someone.
Maybe the Reds.
I hope.
Starting tonight, we'll find out. Reds lineup is in. Ellie De La Cruz. You want to get there early, you know, see this guy in the first inning. He's exciting. He's one of those one of those guys that they say, you're worth the price of admission. If you're a Padre fan, you don't want to see him on base because if he's on base, he might be at third in a blink of an eye. He's already stolen 18 bases this year. I think Ricky Henderson's all-time single season record of 130 is safe. Imagine that, by the way.
That's a lot of stolen 130. Bases. That's insane. I mean, Ronald Acuna had 70 last year.
And it seemed
and that
like
was...
he had a million.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Elly De La Cruz could get 7-0 this year, if not more. He's exciting. He'll be batting second tonight at shortstop. Anyway, Reds lineup is out. We talked Reds baseball with Mark Sheldon of MLB.com. And here's a little feel for what that was like after we checked traffic. Time to check in on the Cincinnati Reds. They are in town to take on the Padres, starting a three-game series tonight at Petco Park. Mark Sheldon, MLB.com, covers the Reds. Nice enough to join us here. And, Mark, we appreciate it. How's the trip to San Diego so far?
Well, I'm a pretty happy guy. I got some Mexican food for lunch.
Smart.
Always the best out here. I don't want to give a plug unless I'm allowed to, but it was really, really good. And I am so full that I'm going to probably need a nap.
By all means, go ahead and plug it.
We're always looking for
myself.
A spot.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys know it. I mean, I'm not even sure if it's that good by San Diego standards, but Lolita's, there used to be one across the street from the ballpark. I took a ride out to the outer edges of town and found a Lolita's, I think in Kearney, and very, very good.
Now, never mind the Reds. I just want to know, like, as you travel around, do you have certain spots in certain cities and, you know, certain foods that you got to get when you get into a new place?
Absolutely. I can get you a grilled cheese in Milwaukee. I can get you a hamburger and, you know, a lot of different cities. So yes, there's a lot of different things I like. I'm not a foodie in the sense of like, I don't need 5-star dining or James Beard award winners cooking my food, but if it tastes good and it hits right. Yeah, there's about maybe often at least one place, if not two, in every city I go that I try to go to. And I also try to look for new places, but sometimes I fall into the rut because if I'm only in a city like San Diego once a year,
yeah,
and I don't go to Lolita's, that means I'm not going to get it for a long time. So
yeah,
that's kind of how I go.
Yeah. Well, this is our kind of conversation.
Exactly.
Mark, we appreciate it. Great stuff. Last thing, when we go to Cincinnati, I mean, is it the chili? Is that the go-to there? Or is there something the rest of us don't know about?
Well, definitely Skyline Chili is the most popular. It's either you love it or you hate it. I love it, but I'm not a native of Cincinnati, but I still love it. But a lot of people are like, what is this? There's some other really, really nice restaurants that are really good restaurants. There's a great fried chicken place called The Eagle. There's just great food of any kind. There's a Vietnamese place. There's Thai places. There's the Cincinnati food situation has improved mightily since it was just known for Montgomery and Ribs and Skyline Chili. So they've upgraded the restaurants quite a bit. But Skyline is definitely one you have to hit if you're coming into town.
All right, Mark, you sound like my kind of guy. But I know we're talking about food, and I love food too, but let's talk a little bit of baseball here. You got a pretty exciting team that you're getting an opportunity to cover. Obviously, Elly De La Cruz is the guy that everybody's paying attention to, but there's quite a few young guys on this team that have really kind of rejuvenated this organization a little bit.
Certainly. It started really in 2022, coming out of the lockout, going into spring training. They purged pretty much all the veterans off the roster, save for Joey Votto. And they were unpopular moves at the time, and it was tough for fans to go through a 100-loss season. But you saw the building blocks of what was going on by the end of that season, and then by 2023, some of the people they traded for were ready to be in the big leagues, and some of the prospects they already had in the system were ready to be in the big leagues, and they all kind of started trickling up starting in mid-May of last year and leading into De La Cruz in June and Encarnacion and Strand in July, and a lot of these prospects are now in their second season, and you know, some of them are struggling. One of them is hurt, Matt McClain. He hasn't played yet this season, but De La Cruz, for instance, is off and running, and he's having a spectacular year. And the pitching side, too, Andrew Abbott, Alexis Diaz and guys like that are also showing their integral parts of this team.
Mark Sheldon is with us from MLB.com. We're talking about food, but we digress and go into a little baseball as well here. The Reds are, you mentioned De La Cruz. I think he's got 18 stolen bases. The rest of the team is running wild from what I've seen, Mark. I mean, is this a green light? And do the Padres have any chance to slow down this running game this week?
Well, they certainly have a chance. It's possible, but they are aggressive, and that's something they did last year as well. Before 2023, they didn't have a very athletic roster. They were more known for power. They had a lot more veterans, and they didn't run very much. I think they only stole like 58 bases in 2022, and that was like near the bottom of the league. And then last year, I think they led the league. So it's just they all have a green light, and it's not just stealing bases. It's taking an extra base. If there's a guy on first, he's going to try to go to third, if not score on a base hit, if it's possible. And they're always looking to run. They're always looking to take an extra base. And that's something that's been blended into the DNA of the team now, because they will try to steal an extra base. They will try to be aggressive. They will certainly run the contact play with a runner on third and a ground ball is hit. They're not afraid to make the team make a perfect play to get the guy out, and they hope they can induce mistakes. And De La Cruz definitely does that. He'll even steal third with two outs. And one time a couple weeks ago, the ball was thrown into left field and he scored. So there's different ways he can hurt you, and the running game for anybody can hurt other teams if they apply it right.
Let's talk a little bit about Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, he's a baseball's version of Wembanyama. And he, the size, the freakish athletic ability. And he seemed to, at least in this first month of the season, he's made some adjustments, it looked like. What has he done differently to start this season? I know he got out of the gates really well last year when he came up and slumped down the stretch. But he's come out the gates well again here. Has there been some adjustments for him?
There has. In the off season, he went home to the Dominican. He worked with the Reds hitting coach, and we made some personal visits both in the Dominican and in Miami. He even worked a little bit with Juan Soto, who's a longtime friend. The basic adjustments he's made is he's kind of lessened his leg kick. He's waiting a little longer on pitches before he commits to a swing, and it's kind of helped him go the opposite way a lot more, both right and left-handed. And those seem to be the minor adjustments, and he's being a little bit more selective. He is striking out a lot still, but he's also walking more than he has. He's already had a four-walk game, two walk games, and he seems to be doing better. But when he makes contact, if it's not a home run, and he can hit them far, but he can definitely hit them the other way into the gaps, and you know, he can turn a single into a double very easily as well.
Cincinnati Reds certainly are one of baseball's young, exciting squads. They're in town to take on the Padres this week. Mark, let me ask you about tonight's starting pitcher for the Reds, Nick Lodolo. He's been, I think, only a couple of starts because he started on the injured list, but they've both been real good. And, you know, we hear so much about Hunter Green. I don't think we're going to see him in this series. But talk a little bit about the Reds' young starters.
Yeah, Lodolo is a former first rounder, and I think they took him in 19, and he's just a big left-handed guy. And what you're going to see tonight is he's got his mid to high 90s fastball, but he's got a devastating curveball, especially on the right-handers. He can get it on the back foot, and a lot of times he'll hit a guy on the foot, or he'll hit him on the foot while they swing and strike out. So it's a big pitch. It fools a lot of guys. He's definitely been a jolt to the rotation. You know, he had only seven starts last year with a stress fracture in his tibia. And then he had a little calf issue, coming out of spring training. So he's been back for three starts, and they really like having him. But then you have Graham Ashcraft, who, certainly has got a triple digit splitter that he uses and a slider, and he can really hurt hitters. And then, lately, at least I think this time around the rotation, a familiar guy you guys know is Nick Martinez. He is in the rotation as Frankie Montas has been on the injured list. And he hasn't done well as a starter, but he's definitely helped him out of the bullpen. He's got a couple of outings. He's got a four scoreless inning and a three scoreless inning, I believe. And his starts haven't been as sparkling, but they really like having him. And missing somebody, I know. I mentioned Andrew Abbott. He's another guy that really came up last year. He's a left-hander. He can hit all the kind of all four quadrants of the strike zone very well. He's a good location guy. And even though he does give up in a home run every now and again or walk guys, he's generally, when he's on, especially if he gets his fastball in on right-handers, which is something he's been working on, he's a very good and very tough pitcher.
We saw that here a little bit with Nick Martinez as well in terms of his starts versus what it looked like when he was coming out of the pen. He certainly was extremely effective for the Padres when he came out of the pen. Mark Sheldon with us covers the Cincinnati Reds. Lastly, for me, Mark, David Bell at the helm here. He's been here for a little bit. I mean, what are the expectations for this ball club this year? I know last year they made things interesting. The Central seems to be wide open this year. I mean, is there any expectation that this team could perhaps be one of the dark horses?
Yeah, as far as the team from the inside, they think they have everything that it takes to go to the postseason, and anything short of that will be considered a grave disappointment. They were really disappointed they didn't make the playoffs last year. They had 82 wins, and they just missed. And a lot of guys took that very personally, and they've learned from that, and they feel like with the improvements they made, they deepened their infield a little bit by signing Jamer Candelaria, who is not doing very well, but the move was made. They added Nick Martinez to bolster kind of the depth of the pitching. They added Frankie Montas to provide a veteran. So those were moves that were targeted for their shortcomings. They had a lot of depth issues in both the bullpen and rotation, and they wanted to address that. So they feel like if they don't win the division and go into a playoff run that takes them rather deep, it's going to be a disappointing season. So I think they think that. Now, of course, they have some issues as well. It's a division that's wide open, but they're not perfect. They're just a couple games above 500, and they haven't totally played to their ceiling yet. They're missing Matt McClain. They're missing TJ Friedl, but they think if they get at least Friedl back in the next couple of weeks, they could be much better than they are right now.
Cincinnati Reds, Padres start a series tonight. Mark Sheldon with the preview. We appreciate it, Mark. Before we let you go, please pass along hello to one of our other favorites here from San Diego, Emilio Pagan. We miss him. It's been a few years, but I think you've probably met him. He's a terrific guy. And now I think I'm going to go get something to eat. So
go stuff yourself.
I appreciate it, Mark. Enjoy your week in San Diego.
Thank you very much, guys. Take care.
Hi, Mark. Mark Sheldon there, getting us ready for the Reds and getting us ready to eat. You know, I mentioned the stolen base with the Reds and Ellie De La Cruz. He has 18 stolen bases right now.
Okay.
That is more than 17 teams have in Major League Baseball to this point in the season. Padres are just over that. They have 21 as a team.
Okay.
The Reds have 52 stolen bases so far. So, Waldron with that knuckler, might be a little tough. Higashioka going to have to be on his toes tonight because, the Reds are going to be running, trying to make things happen in that regard. Of course, the best way to stop the running game, don't let anybody get on in the first place. Easier said than done.
Gunner, that is true, Chris.
Yes, thank you. Gunnar Henderson with his 10th of the year. Orioles jump out 1-0 on the Yankees. Henderson ties Mike Trout for the MLB home run lead. Chris versus the fans is next. Time to check in on the Cincinnati Reds. They are in town to take on the Padres, starting a three-game series tonight at Petco Park. Mark Sheldon, MLB.com, covers the Reds. Nice enough to join us here. And, Mark, we appreciate it. How's the trip to San Diego so far?
Well, I'm a pretty happy guy. I got some Mexican food for lunch.
Smart.
Always the best out here. I don't want to give a plug unless I'm allowed to, but it was really, really good. And I am so full that I'm going to probably need a nap.
By all means, go ahead and plug it.
We're always looking for
myself.
A spot.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys know it. I mean, I'm not even sure if it's that good by San Diego standards, but Lolita's, there used to be one across the ballpark. I took a ride out to the outer edges of town and found a Lolita's, I think in Kearney, and very, very good.
Now, never mind the Reds. I just want to know, like, as you travel around, do you have certain spots in certain cities and you know, certain foods that you got to get when you get into a new place?
Absolutely. I can get you a grilled cheese in Milwaukee. I can get you a hamburger in, you know, a lot of different cities. So yes, there's a lot of different things I like. I'm not a foodie in the sense of, like, I don't need 5-star dining or James Beard Award winners cooking my food. But if it tastes good and it hits right, yeah, there's about maybe often at least one place, if not two, in every city I go that I try to go to. And I also try to look for new places, but sometimes I fall into the rut, because if I'm only in a city like San Diego once a year, yeah, and I don't go to Lolita's, that means I'm not going to get it for a long time. So yeah, that's kind of how I go.
Yeah. Well, this is our kind of conversation.
Exactly.
Mark, we appreciate it. Great stuff.
Last
thing, when we go to Cincinnati, I mean, is it the chili? Is that the go-to there? Or is there something the rest of us don't know about?
Well, definitely Skyline Chili is the most popular. It's either you love it or you hate it. I love it, but I'm not a native of Cincinnati, but I still love it. But a lot of people are like, what is this? There's some other really, really nice restaurants that are really good restaurants. There's a great fried chicken place called The Eagle. There's just great food of any kind. There's a Vietnamese place. There's Thai places. There's the Cincinnati food situation has improved mightily since it was just known for Montgomery and Ribs and Skyline Chili. So they've upgraded the restaurants quite a bit. But Skyline is definitely one you have to hit if you're coming into town.
All right, Mark, you sound like my kind of guy. But I know we're talking about food, and I love food too. But let's talk a little bit of baseball here. You got a pretty sure. exciting team that you're getting an opportunity to cover. Obviously, Ellie De La Cruz is the guy that everybody's paying attention to. But there's quite a few young guys on this team that have really kind of rejuvenated this organization a little bit.
Certainly. It started really in 2022, coming out of the lockout, going into spring training. They purged pretty much all the veterans off the roster, save for Joey Votto. And they were unpopular moves at the time, and it was tough for fans to go through a 100-loss season. But you saw the building blocks of what was going on by the end of that season. And then by 2023, some of the people they traded for were ready to be in the big leagues, and some of the prospects they already had in the system were ready to be in the big leagues. And they all kind of started trickling up starting in mid-May of last year and leading into De La Cruz in June and Encarnacion Strand in July. And a lot of these prospects are now in their second season. And, you know, some of them are struggling. One of them is hurt, Matt McLean. He hasn't played yet this season, but De La Cruz, for instance, is off and running, and he's having a spectacular year. And the pitching side too, Andrew Abbott, you know, Alexis Diaz, and guys like that have also been showing their integral parts of this team.
Mark Sheldon is with us from MLB.com. We're talking about food, but we digress and go into a little baseball as well here. The Reds are, you mentioned De La Cruz. I think he's got 18 stolen bases. The rest of the team is running wild, from what I've seen, Mark. I mean, is this a green light? And I mean, do the Padres have any chance to slow down this running game this week?
Well, they certainly have a chance. It's possible, but they are aggressive, and that's something they did last year as well. Before 2023, they didn't have a very athletic roster. They were more known for power. They had a lot more veterans, and they didn't run very much. I think they only stole like 58 bases in 2022, and that was like near the bottom of the league. And then last year, they led the league. So it's just they all have a green light, and it's not just stealing bases. It's taking an extra base. If there's a guy on first, he's going to try to go to third, if not score on a base hit, if it's possible. And they're always looking to run. They're always looking to take an extra base. And that's something that's been kind of blended into the DNA of the team now, because they will try to steal an extra base. They will try to be aggressive. They will certainly run the contact play with a runner on third and a ground ball hit. They're not afraid to make the team make a perfect play to get the guy out, and they hope they can induce mistakes. And De La Cruz definitely does that. He'll even steal third with two outs. And one time a couple weeks ago, the ball was thrown into left field and he scored. So there's different ways he can hurt you, and the running game for anybody can hurt other teams if they apply it right.
Let's talk a little bit about Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, he's a baseball's version of Wembanyama, and I mean, he, the size, the freakish athletic ability, and he seemed to, at least in this first month of the season, he's made some adjustments, it looked like. What has he done differently to start this season? I know he got out of the gates really well last year when he came up and slumped down the stretch, but he's come out the gates well again here. Has there been some adjustments for him?
There has. In the off season, he went home to the Dominican. He worked with the Reds hitting coach, and we made some personal visits both in the Dominican and in Miami. He even worked a little bit with Juan Soto, who's a longtime friend. The basic adjustments he's made is he's kind of lessened his leg kick. He's waiting a little longer on pitches before he commits to a swing, and it's kind of helped him go the opposite way a lot more, both right and left-handed. And those seem to be the minor adjustments, and he's being a little bit more selective. He is striking out a lot still, but he's also walking more than he has. He's already had a four-walk game, two walk games, and he seems to be doing better. But when he makes contact, if it's not a home run, and he can hit them far, but he can definitely hit them the other way into the gaps, and you know, he can turn a single into a double very easily as well.
Cincinnati Reds certainly are one of baseball's young, exciting squads. They're in town to take on the Padres this week. Mark, let me ask you about tonight's starting pitcher for the Reds, Nick Lodolo. He's been, I think, only a couple of starts because he started on the injured list, but they've both been real good. And, you know, we hear so much about Hunter Green. I don't think we're going to see him in this series. But talk a little bit about the Reds' young starters.
Yeah, Lodolo is a former first rounder, and I think they took him in 19, and he's just a big left-handed guy. And what you're going to see tonight is he's got his mid to high 90s fastball, but he's got a devastating curveball, especially on the right-handers. He can get it on the back foot, and a lot of times he'll hit a guy on the foot, or he'll hit him on the foot while they swing and strike out. So it's a big pitch. It fools a lot of guys. He's definitely been a jolt to the rotation. You know, he had only seven starts last year with a stress fracture in his tibia. And then he had a little calf issue coming out of spring training. So he's been back for three starts, and they really like having him. But then you have Graham Ashcraft, who certainly has got a triple-digit splitter that he uses and a slider, and he can really hurt hitters. And then lately, at least I think this time around the rotation, a familiar guy you guys know is Nick Martinez. He is in the rotation as Frankie Montas has been on the injured list. And he hasn't done well as a starter, but he's definitely helped him out of the bullpen. He's got a couple of outings. He's got a four scoreless inning and a three scoreless inning, I believe. And his starts haven't been as sparkling, but they really like having him. And missing somebody, I know. I mentioned Andrew Abbott. He's another guy that really came up last year. He's a left-hander. He can hit all four quadrants of the strike zone very well. He's a good location guy. And even though he does give up in a home run every now and again or walk guys, he's generally, when he's on, especially if he gets his fastball in on right-handers, which is something he's been working on, he's a very good and very tough pitcher.
We saw that here a little bit with Nick Martinez as well in terms of his starts versus what it looked like when he was coming out of the pen. He certainly was extremely effective for the Padres when he came out of pen. Mark Sheldon with us covers the Cincinnati Reds. Lastly, for me, Mark, David Bell at the helm here. He's been here for a little bit. I mean, what are the expectations for this ball club this year? I know last year they made things interesting. The Central seems to be wide open this year. I mean, is there any expectation that this team could perhaps be one of the dark horses?
Yeah, as far as the team from the inside, they think they have everything that it takes to go to the postseason, and anything short of that will be considered a grave disappointment. They were really disappointed they didn't make the playoffs last year. They had 82 wins, and they just missed. And a lot of guys took that very personally, and they've learned from that, and they feel like with the improvements they made, they deepened their infield a little bit by signing Jamer Candelaria, who is not doing very well, but the move was made. They added Nick Martinez to bolster kind of the depth of the pitching. They added Frankie Montas to provide a veteran. So those were moves that were targeted for their shortcomings. They had a lot of depth issues in both the bullpen and rotation, and they wanted to address that. So they feel like if they don't win the division and go into a playoff run that takes them rather deep, it's going to be a disappointing season. So I think they think that. Now, of course, they have some They have some issues as well. It's a division that's wide open, but they're not perfect. They're just a couple games above 500, and they haven't totally played to their ceiling yet. They're missing Matt McClain. They're missing TJ Friedel, but they think if they get at least Friedel back in the next couple of weeks, they could be much better than they are right now.
Cincinnati Reds, Padres start a series tonight. Mark Sheldon with the preview. We appreciate it, Mark. Before we let you go, please pass along hello to one of our other favorites here from San Diego, Emilio Pagan. We miss him. It's been a few years, but I think you probably met him. He's a terrific guy. And now I think I'm going to go get something to eat. So
go stuff yourself.
I appreciate it, Mark. Enjoy
Thank
your
you,
week
Mark.
In San Diego.
Thank you very much, guys. Take care.
Hi, Mark. Mark Sheldon there, getting us ready for the Reds and getting us ready to eat. I mentioned the stolen base with the Reds and Ellie De La Cruz. He has 18 stolen bases right now.
Okay.
That is more than 17 teams have in Major League Baseball to this point in the season. Padres are just over that. They have 21 as a team.
Okay.
The Reds have 52 stolen bases so far. So, Waldron with that knuckler, might be a little tough. Higashioka's going to have to be on his toes tonight because, the Reds are going to be running, trying to make things happen in that regard. Of course, the best way to stop the running game, don't let anybody get on in the first place. Easier said than done.
That is true, Chris.
Yes, thank you. Gunnar Henderson with his 10th of the year. Orioles jump out 1-0 on the Yankees. Henderson ties Mike Trout for the MLB home run lead. Chris versus the fans is next.